Can you turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 8? Proverbs, chapter 8, and verse number 17. Read a couple of verses here. Proverbs, chapter 8, verse number 17. It says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honour are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come before you this evening, and Father, as we do so, Father, we ask that thou would please be with us in this time. Lord, cleanse us from all sin, take away every distraction, and Lord, we ask for thy Holy Spirit. That Spirit, Lord, that grants power, Lord, to this word, and that speaks unto our hearts. Father, Lord, we ask for thy presence. We pray, O Lord, that thou would anoint this word, O Lord, this evening. And Lord, speak directly to each one of us in our point of need. And Father, Lord, we ask that we might find our all in all in thee. O Lord, we ask thou, Lord, would take me as thy servant, Lord. And please, O Lord, grant power, Lord, to this scripture. Power, Lord, to my word, rather. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And a verse I know we all know, I'm sure we all do. Riches and honour are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. If you then turn to the book of Ephesians, the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. We'll read through from verse number 1 through to verse number 5. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we are dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. I'd like to speak to you this evening by this topic, which I know Pastor touched on this morning, riches, the riches afforded to us by the Lord, not the riches that the world or Satan tries to tempt us all with, but the riches that the Lord grants unto us. You read first of how riches and honour are with the Lord, and he says they are durable riches. And in verse number 4 of Ephesians, we see how God is rich in mercy. And there are a number of riches that are mentioned in the Bible, and if we think of all the riches that the Lord might possess, and that he does possess, they must be equally limitless as he is. And if you think, why might they be riches to us? Ask yourself that question, first of all. Why might they be riches? Well, first of all, anything coming from the Lord granted unto us. Thank you very much. This evening, I want to turn and speak to you about the riches of God. There are a number of riches named in the Bible, riches coming from God. They're riches to us because they belong to God. Anything that belongs unto the Lord and which he's willing to grant us must be riches. And if you think of us in our natural state, we're paupers. Anything coming from the Lord unto us is great riches, because they must be. We are paupers in comparison. As I said to begin with, the riches of the Lord are limitless. You can't put a limit on the riches that the Lord possesses. And also, the Lord, he doesn't seek to withhold his riches from us. He's not keeping them back from us. He wants to give them unto us. He wants to grant them abundantly unto us, that we'll see. He wants to grant them liberally, freely. Now, I see there are probably more, and I'm sure you'll probably spot more as I read and probably tell me of more as I finish. There are three riches that I can speak of, very obvious and clear riches that the New Testament speaks about. The first of all are the riches of his goodness, the riches of his goodness. We turn to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, and it mentions them there. The riches of the Lord's goodness towards us. Romans chapter 2. If you read number 3, verse number 3 and verse number 4. Romans chapter 2, verse number 3 says, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" And this is after Paul setting out clearly how we must come to the Lord in faith, and then laying down in very clear terms how we're all sinners, we're all lost, there is none good, no, not one. And he's speaking very specifically there about the Hebrew nation to begin with, the Jewish nation. And then he goes in chapter 2 towards the Gentiles, the rest of us. And he says, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same?" We can't point our finger at anyone. And he says, "Do you think that you shall escape the same judgment, the judgment of God?" And then he goes on to say, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" It is, the Lord uses providence, he uses his plan, but especially he uses the giving of the gospel to bring people to him. And we can all, if you think back in our testimonies, how we came unto the Lord, or how the Lord drew us to him, we can point at certain things of how this thing happened and it brought us to a certain point. And sometimes the Lord, he uses great trials in life to bring people to him. But he always uses the gospel. And we can think of how prior to that, the Lord grants general blessings to all people. The rain in season, the seasons themselves, the harvests, health, blessings. All of these come from the Lord, regardless of whether people give thanks to him or not. They come from him. And these are the riches of his goodness, is the general goodness to all men. And it talks here about the goodness and the forbearance and the long suffering of the Lord. And he suffers long with us, doesn't he? We think back how the Lord suffered long with us and the goodness that he granted unto us in not judging us. And we can give thanks, can't we? Such goodness that came from the Lord. And don't be shy in giving thanks unto the Lord for these things. Sometimes if we ask for testimony, I mentioned it before, we seem very quiet. We could mention all things. The sun in the sky today. What a lovely day it was. an example of the riches of God's goodness. But here it speaks about the man who might despise that riches. Don't do it, he says. I'm warning you. I brought you to a place where you see your sin. You see you are guilty. You know the gospel. The Spirit has been working on your heart. Do not despise. Do not let this moment pass. Know that the Lord has brought you to this point and you must repent. You must repent. And the riches of the Lord bring us to that point. The riches of his goodness. He brings us to that point where he leads you to repentance. He leads us unto repentance. We didn't come there by accident. We certainly didn't come there in our own might, did we? In our own strength, or even in our own will. The Lord brought us unto repentance. There's another riches that the New Testament speaks about. In the same book, Ephesians, turn back to chapter 1. Verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The riches of his grace. I would love to spend so much time on this, the riches of his grace. But as the Lord brings us to repentance, the riches of his grace, where could we start? He first shows you that grace, doesn't he? When you see how the Lord Jesus has died for your sins, you see the Lord on Calvary, the suffering Saviour. And he's not just anymore a figure on a cross. He's to you. He's your Saviour. He's dying for your sins. And it is the grace of God that we are brought there. And it is the grace of the Lord that we are saved. We are saved by grace through faith. And the riches of his grace, likewise, are limitless. We can again give testimony how, and it's not something we should ever be proud about, how we might fall. And he grants us more grace. The God of all grace. In James, book of James, it says, he grants us more grace. More grace. He knows us in our weakness. He sees us and he grants us more grace, more favour, more unmerited favour and love. Back in Ephesians, look in chapter 2 again. Chapter 2 says, in verse number 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. The exceeding riches of his grace in Christ Jesus. It's abundant, isn't it? I looked up that word exceeding. It's always nice sometimes to look up the English words to actually see what the English means. To exceed came originally from referring to how an Olympic thrower might go well beyond his normal mark. And he would exceed it. And the exceeding riches of his grace goes well beyond anything we can imagine. It goes beyond the riches in this world. It goes beyond the riches of any man. It goes beyond the riches of any heart. It says that in the ages to come, he might show. I thought about that also. We will see, if we're in the Lord, we will see the ages to come. And it will take the ages to come for the Lord to show us the exceeding riches of his grace. We'll be looking through the word of God. We'll be seeing the blessings of the Lord, his grace towards men. And it will take us an age and more. It'll take us an eternity. And still we wouldn't have exceeded the riches of his grace. That is the measure of the Lord's grace towards us. We tend to speak about the Lord's grace as some word out there. And we never put a definition to it. It's about some undefinable thing, isn't it, sometimes? Or we speak about the grace of the Lord. Think of the Lord granting you more pardon, more faith, more strength as a believer, more love. Exceeding riches of his grace. We do not deserve it now. We didn't deserve it then. We won't deserve it in the future. It is all in our Lord. The Father, when he looks upon us, he sees his Son. And when he looks upon his Son, he is always well pleased. And he grants us more grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." And it's a wonderful way of stating it, and it's absolutely true. But it's almost like an understatement, that ye through his poverty might be rich. We think so much about the riches that are bestowed upon us, that are granted unto us. But it's through his poverty. It's through the Lord's poverty. Think much on that. Upon the cross of Christ. All that he suffered for you. As much as he suffered for you are as much riches that would be granted unto you. That's how much. That's how greatly he suffered. The exceeding riches of his grace. Pardon me, in 1 Chronicles, in your Old Testament, chapter 29, says, in verse number 10, I'll read it to you. 1 Chronicles, chapter 10, chapter 29, verse number 10. "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, for ever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honour come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Riches and honour come of thee." In the New Testament, Romans chapter 9, turn to verse number 22. "What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory." Now these are two verses which a lot of people, stumble at. And I frankly, two verses which a lot of people don't want to read. But when they do read, they get it all wrong. When they see the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and the vessels of mercy prepared unto glory, and there are riches of his glory. We see those two peoples there. Two are described. A vessel unto wrath and a vessel unto glory. And we're either one or the other. Must not be shy about this. We're either one or the other. A vessel unto wrath or a vessel unto glory. And all of us here this evening, consider this. Settle it in your heart. A vessel unto wrath or a vessel unto glory. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Two are described. And some people, when they read these two verses and hear of these two peoples, these two type of people, they see how the vessel of mercy was afore prepared unto glory. It was clear, before prepared unto glory. Who by? By the Lord, clearly. And it's true. We are afore, in the ages before we were ever born, before the earth was created, prepared unto glory. The Bible does talk about election. It does talk about being chosen of the Lord. And we must not deny that. It should be a great comfort to our hearts. But it also speaks about vessels of wrath. And people make the mistake by saying, well, there are vessels of mercy. They are prepared unto glory. And they're clearly prepared unto glory by the Lord by election. And they therefore conclude that these vessels of wrath are fitted unto destruction by the Lord. It's almost like this double election that some people believe. If you must be elected, you must be either elected unto glory or elected unto wrath. But it does not say that. It doesn't say that. In fact, Scripture's quite clear. I'll read this from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verse number 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Turn ye, or why will ye die? And it's not within the will of the Lord that any man die a death unto destruction. They suggest that the Lord prepares souls in this age and he brings them into this world. And they suggest that the Lord does so for the purpose of destroying that soul. It does not say that. Do not place that upon the Lord's account. All of us are condemned by our own actions. When it says fitted, what does fitted mean? It means to prepare, to make ready, or to perfect for a certain end. Like an airplane, before it's sent off into flight, it's fitted out. Or you might go to get a new suit and you get fitted. It's made sure that it fits you. It's for you. It's suitable for you. It's a perfect fit. Fitted means what you think it means. It means you're a perfect fit for it. But where it says, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Read that first verse there. Endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. The Holy Spirit is very careful not to say that he afore prepared them unto destruction. All of us, through our rebellion against God, through sin upon sin, through our disbelief of the gospel, for our rejection of sanctification, through all of that, we prepare and perfect and fit ourselves for the wrath of God, so that when we do die, when we do stand in judgment, we are suitable for that wrath. We truly are, through our rejection of Christ. The Lord did not do that. We do that. Man does that. What can we say? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. That's 1 Timothy 1:15. We can all say that, can't we? The Lord does not predestinate people unto hell. Instead, he came into the world to save sinners, of whom we are chief. But upon those who are prepared unto glory, upon those who accept Christ, who ask for forgiveness, it says, upon those that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had afore prepared unto glory. Riches of his glory. I wanted to get to this point. Riches of his glory. Can you imagine the riches of his glory? The glory of God, the glory of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine the extent of the glory of God. Just try to. Like, go tonight and try to imagine the extent of the glory of God. The extent of anything of God, but the glory of God. Isaiah said he saw his glory. But it's speaking about him in a form. And John on the island of Patmos again says he saw his glory. And the three disciples on the mount saw his glory. But again, in a form, it's a description of the Lord. But the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Remember, it's but a description of the holiness of the Lord, the perfection of the Lord. You can't put a limit. It's upon the fullness of God, the riches of his glory. We're granted that. We're granted the riches of his glory. Now we, when we come to the Lord, we are first of all urged to choose Christ. We are appointed to him. We have the gospel presented unto us, and we think we're coming unto him. And we learn later that he brought us, that he chose us. It wasn't us finding him, he found us as a good shepherd. We didn't discover him, he revealed himself. It's all on the Lord's side. We see it from our side. That's why there's two ways that we speak of. What do we see? Firstly, we see the Lord in all his glory. We are humbled. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. We see him in his glory, high and lifted up. And it brings us to our knees. And we repent and believe. And we see him then as our Saviour. We see Christ upon that cross for us, dying for us. And then, as we go forward in our Christian life, we see him as our advocate and as our high priest. And all of these things, we see all of these things manifested unto us in our lives. And these are all the riches that the Lord grants unto us. And elsewhere it's touched on a little bit, again, in this book of Ephesians. Turn now to chapter 3 of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. And I'll read from chapter 3 verse 16 through to verse 19. It says, he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Then it says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Grant you according to the riches of his glory. And that's where it begins. This list of blessings leading up to that fullness of God. It begins with the Lord granting us the riches of his glory. Grant you according to the riches of his glory. According to means in line with. The riches of his glory is governing it. If I do something according to the rules, I stick within those rules. And it says here that the Lord would grant you according to the riches of his glory. And it's something Paul prays for, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, strengthened with might. And it sort of pains you if you were to look around and study people think on this, strengthened with might in the inner man. And today, unfortunately, there's a lot of people talking about the riches of God in a worldly sense, but how the Lord will bless you in his riches. He might do, but it's not talking about that. It's speaking here, and it speaks here about strengthened with might by his Spirit. And it's not talking about outer strength. It's not talking about the outer man either. It's in the inner man. Strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That's where we need strength. Strength to overcome temptation. Strength to live the Christian life. We need strength in the inner man to overcome. And it only comes by his Spirit. You can't work it up. I've said this before. You can't work up strength. You can't work up faith. And you can't work up love. Strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Strengthened with might. Think of that. Try to get our heads around the glory of the Lord. Think of the might that the Lord can impart. Strengthened with might. Don't limit the Lord. You think, oh, will I be able to do this? Will I be able to do that for the Lord? And consider might. It's not you doing it. It's the Lord doing it. In you, through you, by his Spirit. It's not you, it's the Lord. By his might, with his might, it says here. Strengthened with his might. The might of the Lord that overcome the enemies of Israel, that held back the Red Sea. Might, his strong arm in the inner man. It's more than we can imagine. What's the purpose of this? This strength, this might in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. It needs the might of God to persevere as a Christian. You do not do it in your own strength. And you need that strength from the Lord to persevere as a Christian. When all around people are saying evil things, blasphemies, and if you let it known to be people that you're a Christian, mockery is what you get back. Might not say it loudly to begin with, but they'll soon say it. You need strength. You need might. But Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Starts with that, by faith. But ye being rooted and grounded in love. That's the next thing. Rooted and grounded in love. Both you loving the Lord, but more importantly, a knowledge of the extent of the Lord's love for you. The riches of that love towards you. You might be able Rooted and grounded. Sorry, let's not go on right now. Rooted and grounded. You need to be rooted and grounded, don't we? If a tree isn't rooted and grounded, it falls over. It topples. If a house isn't rooted and grounded, it does likewise. And you must be rooted and grounded in love. Only then can you comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. It's common to all saints, we see. People have speculated, what does breadth and length and depth and height refer to? I believe it's referring to that love it's just spoken about. You being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Love. And when you think about it, it's breadth and length and depth and height. It's a volume, isn't it? And you can think about the lengths it will go to, or the breadth it will cover, or the depths of our sin it will reach, it'll pluck you out of, or the height it will measure. And to know the love of Christ, you must know that love. You think about the riches of God. What else do we need? You think about his goodness, the riches of his goodness towards us. Before we were saved, we were never cut off. We can thank God for that, for his goodness towards us. And now we can thank him for his goodness all day long. Every day, we can think about his grace, his wonderful grace. Think about the glory to come, not our glory, but the Lord's glory, when we see him face to face. When you have all of that, it says that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. What more do we want when we have the riches of the Lord? Pastor said earlier, he doesn't want us to get the wrong idea. Being a Christian can be hard. Yes, it can be. We can suffer. We can suffer in lots of different ways. We have his goodness, we have his grace, and we have his glory in abundance. Think upon these things. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you this evening for all of this. And we know, O God, that there is no limit. And we haven't covered it this evening. And we never will, Lord. And thy word, Lord, just gives us a glimpse of glory, of grace, of goodness. And it's possibly as much as our heart can bear, Lord. Father, we pray. And we thank you, O God, for thy forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, for thy grace towards us. And the goodness you show us in so many little ways. And Lord, to think that we have this glory to look forward to. Lord, we who deserve nothing, Lord, help us to love you more, just to see you, nothing else. Lord, we pray, O God, that thou would keep these words, Lord, in our hearts. Don't let the wicked one, Lord, catch them away. Keep us near to thee, Lord. Help us to ponder these things throughout the week. We pray all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.